Welcome to the St. John's worship recording for Sunday, July 12th, 2026. We had a recording glitch this week, so this recording begins with an introduction to cover the essentials that were missed. My name is Gary Vandermeer, and I'm the rector of the parish, and I presided at the Eucharist for this service. The Reverend Canon Alan Box preached the sermon. The recording actually begins one paragraph into Alan's sermon. So in this extended introduction, I will read the two scripture passages referenced in Alan's words. The two readings are Isaiah chapter 55, with an expression of joy about the harvest, and from Matthew's gospel, the parable of the sower. These passages will help you launch right into Alan's childhood story about being assigned to pull the weeds in the family vegetable garden when he was a boy. Sadly, you will not get to hear Psalm 65, beautifully sung by Karen Marks, with lovely harvest imagery, including these concluding poetic words. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the mountains cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. Also, sadly, you will miss Jorvan's beautiful reading in Luganda from Paul's letter to the Romans. So you will now hear first the opening prayer, then the two readings, followed by one of the hymns we did manage to keep from the recording before we launch into Alan's boyhood memories of the family vegetable garden. Let us pray. Almighty God, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at the 10th verse. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble and persecution arise on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what is sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Vegetables. And being such a big, strong boy, as some said, I was entrusted with a significant part of the weeding to be done. I can't think of anything much worse. It has scarred me for life. I cannot stand weeding. And, well, Marilyn knows our deep love for her when occasionally I help her out with the weeding, which she loves, by the way. So that's kind of the story. Each time I read this parable and then the interpretation of this parable in the Gospels, every time it comes around, and that's been a lot of times since I was ordained and accepting responsibility for preaching. So, where does that take us? Well, maybe just one bit more from my dad. The sowing methods, of course, in the day were quite different from what was being described in Jesus' time. But I can assure you that if we had a rocky space, we didn't just throw the seed over. We picked out the rocks, and you like gardening, don't you? I still love you. Picked out the rocks, and of course, if there was seed that we had, or weeds, we had to pull that out too, and then prepare the soil properly, and then put the seeds in their rows or in their hills. That's the way we did it. Now just throw it and see what happens and how well it will turn out. The parable, this parable today, in our, in the reading, really, in the gradual hymn which we had to, this morning and all, concentrates on that area of the sowing, however. It notices that there are problems. It identifies the problems, the rocky land, the weeds, the lousy soil, and so on. The parable says it, and then the interpretation, which probably were not written by the same person, but nevertheless, the interpretation carries it even further, forming it into a part that has, formulated a great deal of our growth and development, spiritual development, you know. Identify the problems. And so we go over the sin, and then we go over the sin, and then we find a new one, and we go over that sin. And not the end of the story, but it seems to me the heart of the story. Well, when I studied, or the first time I studied such things, I was quite amazed and not at all unhappy to discover that maybe the heart of the story as it was written wasn't the real heart of the story. And that in fact in this parable, as in virtually all the parables, the point comes at the end, and the rest is all preparatory stuff. And what comes at the end of this parable? This was pretty good. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Clearly worth using the method of management for the garden that was done there. And so it was ultimately a happy message. But we frequently got stopped at the problem message. When I have troubles, you know, that kind of confusion within trying to relate personal experience to the gardening and find meaning, or trying to take the text and how it's been used over the years and make meaning, that makes for difficulty. And so I wondered, what is the context, really? What is the context of this parable? It's not, you may be surprised, I don't know, but it is not Jesus saying, now this is how we'll get it done, and this is how you will make good followers for me. In fact, what was happening was Jesus was very involved in conflict. The Pharisees and others were out to get rid of him, literally, to get rid of him. His own family rejected him, all because of what he had been saying and what he had been teaching. And his followers could see that for sure. And they knew in their lives and in their hearts some of the conflict that was going on there for Jesus and therefore for themselves. That changes it, you see. Because then the parable becomes a story which leads us to a truth, an important truth. But the story is told because you, my followers, Jesus said, are concerned. These are tough times, and it looks rough. And what can we do? And so he said, well, it's like this. You know how the sower works. You do the work, You run into the difficulty, there are problems, you can't do much to fix much of it, but you do it. And at the end, remember, the harvest is good, 30, 60, 100 fold. Well, to me anyway, that's a much better story than a gardening one. What happens with conflict within and externally to the body of Christ? What happens? We live it. We have it. And then, so then, I guess I would say, where does that lead us to? Well, I think it much in a much more healthy way than leading us to how we correct our tendency to let go before things get going, or to be filled with joy only to find in the next breath can't handle it too much. That may be helpful. That is helpful, actually. But it's much more helpful to learn that the truth is the bounty of God. The three or four things about what happens to plants are important, but I want to suggest an important aside. The surprise ending at the end is what it's all about. And that surprise ending is, after all that trouble, all that difficulty, the harvest is great. Some greater than all, but all great. That's a consistent message of the good news throughout our scriptures. We heard it this morning in the reading from Isaiah. Beautiful reading, beautifully read, and thank you. But it reminds us of the image so alive within ourselves, the rain and the snow come down and water the earth. Bring forth a sprout, give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. And identify with that one. And so shall my word be, he says, that comes out of my mouth. And then he talks about the people who will receive this wonderful word, and he says, you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Wonderful image. And then, a really good bit. Instead of the thorn that shall come up, the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Well, that's the message. Wish those to whom Jesus was speaking would already have heard. Of course. Read it again, I suggest. I read it again and again because of all the beauty of its imagery and all of it and its style of dealing with where things go amiss, where not all is perfection. And then, just to close my thoughts with you today, I want to read a prayer from Desmond Tutu. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours through him who loves us. Amen.
Lord, you have sown your church across the world. In places where the soil was shallow or covered in weeds, you sustained your church. No matter where the seeds are sown, you have sustained your people. And so we pray now, nourish and sustain us, O Lord. We pray that you sustain and nourish the Anglican Church throughout the world, and that you tend to Catherine, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, and Shane, our primate, as they tend to the peoples of this church in our city and across the country. Lord, we pray that you guide the leaders of our country, province, and city as they create good soil that lets all people grow. Lord, we pray that you nourish and sustain the leaders of our church, Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Nicholas, Carrie, Aon, Monica, Barb, Chris, Pat, and all who minister here as they continue to keep St. John's as a place where all congregants can grow. We pray, nourish and sustain us, O Lord. Lord, we pray that you plant in our community members in good soil, especially those in need of our prayers, and we trust that you will support them. Lord, bless the homes where there is any trouble, heal those who are sick, and support those who suffer from any grief. We pray, nourish and sustain us, O Lord. Lord, we ask that you keep close to you all those who have departed, especially the father of Alan Nkeshwe, for whose memory and to the glory of God the flowers are given today. God, nourish and sustain us and all your people. Plant us in good soil so that we may grow towards you. Stay near to us always, for we always need you. And tend to us always, and we shall always tend to everyone around us. The good soil in each of us is yours, O God, and all the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
To stand as we say the prayer that's printed in the final page in your program, the doxology. It encompasses all the other blessings that have yet to be named but are in your hearts. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and strengthen you and keep you today and always. Amen.
Thank you. ways to love and serve the Lord.